How do you do? Can people change character, the way they change clothes, casting off the old garment for a new one? Or, if a man die, shall he live again? In both cases, the answer is yes, as the woman in this story discovered, but only when her heart and mind and life were unshackled. Proclaiming the way, the truth, and the life, this is Unshackled. True life stories dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Broken promises litter the lives of homeless people. Promises made by others. Promises made to themselves. How to recover when they have nothing, not even an address. Pacific Garden Mission offers those without means the chance to start anew. Thanks to friends who care and send financial gifts, the mission provides resident guests with food, fresh clothing, a safe place to sleep, even medical and dental care in the mission clinic. Pastors and counselors share the truth that sets them free, introducing them to the one who offers new life. He promises that he will never leave them or forsake them, and he keeps his word. That same message goes out to the world in 13 languages through this program. Now, for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 3194 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Hello, Beth. My name's Cynthia.
Hi.
I know you're uneasy about this. I went through the same thing myself a few years ago.
You did?
Yes. That's why I'm here, to help you consider all the options.
I have to do this. I'm still in school. My parents would kill me if they knew.
How far along are you?
2 months, I think.
I know it seems like this is a showstopper, something that will end your life, but that's not true.
No, you don't understand. I want to go to college.
I wanted to be a famous rock singer. I had my own band, and record companies were interested in me.
Really?
Yes. And I didn't want anything to interfere with my plans.
So what did you do?
Let me tell you.
Last week, we heard how the woman in our story reached for the brass ring of success as a rock music singer. This is the conclusion of her true testimony, a woman we're calling Cynthia, and how she was unshackled.
I married the drummer in a heavy metal band, and we moved to California trying to make it big. My husband and his band used cocaine, and I began using it too. We weren't successful out there, and our marriage suffered, so we moved back to Kansas City. A year later, my grandfather died, and I flew to California for his funeral. During the trip, my brother shared the gospel with me. I repented of my sins and asked God to forgive me and to save me. He did. I couldn't wait to come home and tell my husband.
So how was the funeral, Cynthia?
Sad. But something good happened, Rick. On the way home, I was born again.
What?
I prayed on the airplane right over Las Vegas, and I asked God to make me his child. It's wonderful. You need to ask Jesus to save you, too.
Not a chance.
Why not?
I like my life the way it is.
I can see the difference between good and evil now. Where's the Bible that Tammy gave me?
Your sister-in-law gave you a Bible?
Yes. Oh, here it is. Listen to this. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. That's amazing.
Why?
Before, when I read the Bible, I didn't understand it. Now I do.
Nobody reads the Bible anymore.
These proverbs are great. Listen to this one. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction.
Don't you have anything else to do?
Scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Don't you see that's you, Rick?
This is just a phase, Cynthia. It'll pass.
No, it won't. You don't understand. God has changed my life, Rick.
Hello?
Tammy, I wanted to tell you that I prayed on the airplane flying home.
I'm glad to hear that, Cynthia.
Barry gave me some pamphlets, but I didn't pray the one that was printed in the pamphlet. I did that when I was 12, and my life didn't change. So I just talked to God the way I'm talking to you now. I asked Him to forgive my sin, and then I asked Jesus to take control of my life.
You're saved, then. You're born again, Cynthia. That's wonderful.
Barry used to be so wild, but now he's at peace. I wanted what he had.
The Lord really does make a difference, Cynthia.
Does he ever? I'm reading the Bible you gave me, and I understand it.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
I'm so glad Barry told me about Jesus, how to be saved, but he didn't push it.
Everyone here was praying for you.
I'm going to start going to church, too.
Have you told Rick?
Yes. He thinks it won't last.
If you like, I'll come over and study the Bible with you.
I'd love that, Tammy. God led me to a small Bible church in Missouri, and with Tammy as mentor, I studied God's Word. I also read Christian books and tried to be a better wife, fixing dinner for Rick, rubbing his back, listening to him. But it was too late. A few months later, my husband left me for a woman he dated before I was saved. My world crumbled around me. I called Tammy, and she came to comfort me.
I'm so sorry, Cynthia. Trust in the Lord, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
There's no hope for reconciliation. He's been having an affair for months now.
Then maybe it's best to let him go. The Bible says, but if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace.
I tried so hard, Tammy. I was sure God would save Rick, too.
Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father, which hath sent me draw him. Pray for Rick.
I do.
There's a verse in Isaiah. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
My thoughts are pretty awful right now, and there's nothing I can do.
Wait on the Lord. God doesn't always work the way we want him to, Cynthia.
But he wants people to be saved, doesn't he?
Yes. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But salvation doesn't always come the way we expect. The wind blows here and there, and you can't tell where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. In fact, look at your own salvation, how unexpected it was.
You're right.
Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
Sanctification is a lifelong process, but God began to deliver me from my old ways. Cussing went first. One day, during break time at work, I looked at my cigarette and thought, how can I bring glory to God with this habit? And I quit smoking cold turkey. Months later, I volunteered to sing in church, and the first time I sang, I swayed the way I once had during performances in bars. Afterward, a woman cautioned me about my moves. I wept later as I called the pastor's wife.
Why are you apologizing for the way you sang today?
A woman at church cautioned me about the way I was swaying when I sing. She said I might cause someone to stumble. That wasn't my intention. I feel as if I perverted my worship to God, and I'm so sorry. I just want to serve him with the talent he gave me.
Don't worry, Cynthia. We know your background, and we know that it takes time to learn the changes to be made in the Christian life. We totally understood.
Thank you so much. I was thinking of quitting.
Oh, don't do that. You have a beautiful voice.
Thank you for that. I feel so low. I needed your encouragement.
God knows your heart. Just trust him.
It was a learning process, but I was determined and I learned. As the months passed, God surrounded me with believers who were strong in faith. Besides my sister-in-law, an older woman named Bess discipled me. We met one-on-one in her little home. I was growing in the Lord, but it was still hard, losing my husband.
Have you heard from him?
He's living with his girlfriend, and he filed for divorce. I got the papers this week. I blame myself, Tammy.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Thank you.
Are you going to sign the papers?
I'm so ambivalent. One minute I want him back because I still love him, and the next minute I think, well, he's gone, and he's an unbeliever, so I might as well sign the divorce papers.
It's painful, because God makes us one flesh when we marry. And how do you separate one flesh? Jesus said, "Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder."
Well, I don't have much choice, Tammy.
No, you don't. That's why it's so painful.
What do I do now?
Trust in the Lord. He'll guide you day by day. Remember the verse you memorized last week?
Romans chapter 8, verse 32. "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" When the divorce was final, Rick married his girlfriend who was expecting a baby. He called me once during that time, wanting to come and stay with me because they had problems, but I told him he needed to work things out with his wife. I was growing in knowledge, memorizing scripture, meeting for Bible study, and serving in ministry. One day, I saw Rick at a funeral.
"I'm divorced from my wife, Cynthia."
"Sorry to hear that, Rick."
"She was obsessive. She would come to my job and start fighting with me."
"She needs the Lord. You both need him."
"I made a mistake in leaving you. I wish I hadn't."
"Well, I wish you the best, Rick. I hope you turn to the Lord, too." According to Deuteronomy chapter 24, God forbids switching spouses, and he also tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" I never saw Rick again. I began mentoring women, volunteering at the Crisis Pregnancy Center.
"You said you had been through this. When?"
"Before I was married, when I was 19 and singing in rock bands, I became promiscuous. I didn't want a baby to interfere with my career, so I ended my pregnancy twice. I didn't know the Lord, so I lived a very selfish and ungodly lifestyle. I will always regret that decision. Your mom chose life for you. Choose life for your baby, and God will lead you by the right way."
"That's easy for you to say now."
"I have vowed before God to remain pure, even if I never marry again. I belong to the Lord, and I can't give myself to anyone unless he brings us together in marriage. If God can pull me out of the muck and mire and set me on solid ground, he can do that for anyone, including you."
In a moment, we'll hear the rest of Cynthia's story. Would you like to see all that we offer? Well, you can find it in our Ministry Resources catalog, and it's free for the asking. Just write and ask for a copy. Inside, we have a small collection of Unshackled story booklets, illustrated like comic books. These are described in our Ministry Resources catalog with the topic and program number related to the original Unshackled production. These are favorite items to use in evangelism because the gospel is contained in each one, but that's not all. You'll find a form to sign up for the PGM News, our monthly newsletter, or to join the prayer band, or even send us your testimony for consideration as an Unshackled story. So write and get your free copy of our Ministry Resources catalog. The address: Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address: unshackled@pgm.org.
In addition to helping at the Crisis Pregnancy Center, I taught children's Sunday school and sang with an all-girls group that traveled to various churches and venues. Employed at a large bank, I had worked my way up to the bankruptcy fraud division when a new girl came in one day and began chatting with me.
"Hi, I'm Gloria."
"Nice to meet you, Gloria. I'm Cynthia."
"I've seen you reading the Bible during break."
"I never seem to get enough of God's word."
"I've tried reading it a few times, but it's kind of hard to understand."
"I didn't understand much either before I knew Jesus."
"What do you think about Jesus?"
"He's the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world."
"I'm interested in God."
"This book is the only place to learn about him."
"Oh, you think so?"
"He reveals himself in the Bible. how he's worked in people's lives throughout history, how he keeps his word, how he delivers people who trust him, how he loves us.
What are you reading now?
The Gospel of John, chapter 6, where Jesus talks about being the bread of life.
Oh. Does reading this help you here at work?
Following Jesus helps me in every way.
Oh, I mean, job situations can be so stressful, with gossip and backbiting.
The Lord teaches us to love one another as he loves us.
Really?
Yes. Would you like to come to my Bible study sometime?
Oh, I have a church. You'll have to go with me to a service someday.
Sure, I'll go.
It's refreshing to see someone reading the Bible other than in church.
As Simon Peter said about Jesus, where else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. I went to her church, but they didn't teach sound Bible doctrines. I'm glad the Lord had led me to the church where I was taught and mentored from the Bible. Gloria continued to ask me questions at work during lunchtime. After a few months, she confessed one day that she wanted to feel close to God. Since I didn't have time to explain in depth her need for salvation, I invited her to the Bible study with Bess, the older woman who discipled me. That night, the Lord drew Gloria to salvation as we presented the eternal words of God to her. Gloria prayed to be saved before we left, and she was totally different on the drive home.
Wow! What a difference in how I see things! I'm filled with hope and joy!
I know what you mean, Gloria. Same thing happened to me.
I can't wait to tell my family!
Be prepared for all kinds of responses. People who don't know the Lord, who aren't born again, won't accept what the Bible teaches. Some will think it's a phase. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned."
Well, they need to learn. It's liberating!
I was the same way. I came home and chased my husband around the apartment, throwing Bible verses at him. Then one day I came home and everything was gone, including him.
Oh, did he come back?
No. We've been divorced for several years now. He was already having an affair. He married her after the divorce. Gloria and I met every week after that, completing a Bible study together because I knew from experience that new believers need to be discipled in God's Word. Being single, I had more time for the Lord. I would take the pastor's sermons with me and meditate and study the Bible passages during the week. 9 years passed as I grew in knowledge and love of God's Word. I hadn't been active in the singles ministry, but one summer I decided to go to a picnic that included other congregations. I noticed the sincerity of the man who gave the devotion that day.
Every time I'm judgmental toward others, it's a mirror of who I am. Romans chapter 2, verse 21 says the same thing. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Jesus said it this way, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye?" We must walk righteously before God, seeking to please him with all our heart, and with all our soul, and with all our mind. And we must love one another as he loves us. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Let's show the world Jesus as we demonstrate his love for each other and for them.
Good devotion. I like that you didn't beat the sheep.
Thank you.
Were you raised up a Christian?
No, I'm just a sinner saved by grace.
I guess we all are. Are you a pastor?
No, but I serve in a Christian ministry.
I could tell that you love the Lord. Who discipled you?
Men in the church.
Oh, same with me. I've only been saved about 10 years, but women in the church have discipled me, taught me to memorize scripture.
Discipling is vital. Otherwise, the enemy comes and steals the seed that was planted.
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. I didn't go back to the singles group, but after a month, I decided to call the ministry where he worked, and guess who answered the phone?
This is Dennis.
I wanted to get some information about your ministry, Dennis. I heard about you from a man who gave the devotion last month at the singles picnic.
That was me. I'm Dennis.
I'm Cynthia. I just wanted to know more about your ministry.
Are you the girl with the brown hair that was asking me about verses and about who discipled me and how I came to know the Lord? Were you that girl?
Yeah, that was me.
I remember you. What's your background, Cynthia?
I used to be a rock music singer. Even had my own band.
No kidding. Music is a God-given talent.
I sing for the Lord now.
We have to relearn a lot of things when we follow Christ.
Yeah, he's the rock, so it's a different kind of rock music.
What part of town do you live in, Cynthia?
The West.
We're on the east side. Long way for you to go.
During our conversations on the phone, we got to know each other. Turns out we attended the same kind of church and the same Bible emphasis. Like me, he had vowed to remain pure until marriage, so God protected us from temptation while we drew close spiritually. Then we began to mingle in a group setting. After 10 months, I knew he was the one for me and longed for him to make a decision about us.
How's your singing ministry?
We'll be gone next weekend. Our group is singing out of town.
I'll miss you.
I'll miss you too, Dennis.
Cynthia, I've made a decision about us, and I want to court you.
I thought you'd never ask. Soon after that, Dennis asked me to marry him. Being married in the Lord is completely different from the world's way of marriage. Those years of remaining pure cleansed us and prepared us for the holiness of matrimony. Within 2 months, I was pregnant with our first son. A year later, God gave us another son.
Our cup runneth over.
I sure don't deserve the Lord's blessings.
None of us do, but he loves us and wants to glorify himself in our lives.
When I think of what I once was and where the Lord has brought me.
It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness.
I love that verse. Dennis, when I was young, foolish and unsaved, I had those two abortions. I didn't think anything of it at the time, but I've had many regrets for those decisions. Now I know it's murder.
You've asked God's forgiveness, and the Bible has promises about our sins prior to salvation. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us.
The transgression is gone, but the memory is still there.
You know what God tells us to do. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Don't let the enemy steal what the Lord has done in our lives.
God gave us two more sons, four altogether. Two of them are in the autism spectrum, but God has drawn us closer to him through their unique character traits. In 2009, I went through a desert time in my walk with the Lord. We had moved to Kansas from Missouri, and leaving my home church of 20 years was very difficult for me. It took us a while to find a new church, and I became depressed and withdrawn. I turned to food for comfort. But God sent me a friend and mentor. Hello?
Cynthia, I just called to see how you're doing.
Deanna, I'm glad you called.
Are you still struggling with discouragement?
I'm in the desert for sure.
Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water."
I know. So why am I struggling?
Keep your mind on Christ.
I'm trying, but then I get hungry.
Run to the Lord, not the refrigerator. He will satisfy the longing soul.
It's so hard.
You've made food an idol in your life, Cynthia. Remember, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me.
Thank you, Deanna.
Meditate on Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert.
My time of spiritual dryness ended when I joined the online Bible study that my friend led. I found others who loved the Lord, who were transparent and encouraging. I did a study on idolatry, which opened my eyes to deeper truths.
Absolutely. Anything can be an idol.
I always thought of little statues being idols, but idolatry can be anything. Possessions, a person, wanting to be a rock music star.
God demands our love and loyalty, that's for sure. Thou shalt have no other gods before me is the first of the Ten Commandments.
You know something else, Dennis? I took control of my life when my father left us, and I made being in control an idol, something that I exalted over everything.
It's hard to surrender control of our lives. We're most like the devil when we're willfully disobedient. Lucifer said, "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High."
Obedience has great benefits. Obedience brought us to each other. God led us to a biblically solid church where I serve on the worship team in rotation, which is good because we still have small children at home. No matter what you've done, God will forgive if you repent and turn to the cross asking forgiveness. God's love for you is passionate and runs deep. He gave His only Son to purchase your pardon so you can go to heaven. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Jesus said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Friend, have you ever come to the Lord Jesus Christ seeking him and him alone? He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Turn from your old, meaningless life and discover the joy of being a child of God, the one who created you, the one who died and rose again to save you. Pray with us now. Heavenly Father, I believe Jesus died for my sins. I believe He rose from the dead and lives to save me now. I repent of my sins against you. Come into my life and change me. Please save me, Lord. Make me new. Thank you, God, for your sacrifice. Thank you for the gift of eternal life in Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let us know you prayed, and we'll send you some literature to help you grow in your walk with the Lord. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address, unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, unshackled.org. Don't keep these stories to yourself. Tell others when and how to listen, and be sure to thank the manager of this radio station for bringing you Unshackled. This is program number 3194, heard in the true story of a woman called Cynthia, part 2, where Jennifer Dimmitt, Oksana Fedinishin, Herb Lichtenstein, and Sabrina Duarte. Original music, Don Badorf. Sound, Nadine Aloisio. Engineer, Kim Rasmussen. Script, Kenitha Gabler. I'm Don Stroop. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. We'd love to know what these dramas mean to you, so please write soon. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares, 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call, 312-492-9410.